Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by your CFRC News Collective, Ara McCauley, Jesse Bell, and Jenny Hinch. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcasts, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Ara McCauley, and here are your local news headlines. Last week, CFRC was on hand for a ribbon-cutting ceremony held by the City of Kingston to unveil an innovative modular vertical farm that will provide fresh produce to partners in Mission Food Bank on a weekly basis as part of its expanded Fines for Food pilot. This is the first time a Canadian city has used parking fine revenue to fund a vertical farm as service model for food relief. Mayor Patterson was on hand to say a few words and to cut the ribbon.
It's such a pleasure to be here. And to learn more, to be able to showcase the kind of innovative work that is happening right here in Kingston, addressing one of the big challenges in our community and basically across communities, across the problems in the world. You know, I do want to acknowledge Councillor Brown's leadership on this file. She and I have had good talks on this about the importance of food security. How do we find innovative solutions to be able to support the needs of people in our community? There's a lot of great work that's happening around our city, but ultimately thinking outside the box is key. And so that's why I'm particularly enthusiastic about grocer and modular food solutions. I hear great things about how it's already working and helping to provide fresh food to those in need. And being able to partner with food banks, being able to bring other partners in together is really exciting stuff. So as a city, we're proud to support. We're all here. Councillor Shea is senior here as well. I know that Council is unanimously supportive of this, and it's exciting to see how I think the steps we're taking in Kingston can be replicated. I think there's other communities that are going to step forward to do exactly this kind of work here. And so again, another example of how Kingston can be a leading city on the key issue.
The 40-foot vertical hydroponic farm, which takes up around the space of a large shipping container in the back lot of Kingston's Innovation Hub at 945 Princess Street, has already grown 3,900 pounds of greens for the food bank, and Executive Director Dan Irwin expects this project to assist between 300 and 400 families weekly.
So we are right now averaging more than 100 households a day, Monday to Friday, so we're over 500 a week. We get the produce typically on a Tuesday morning. We bag it up and it starts going out on Tuesday afternoon, so very quick turnaround, and by Friday it's all gone. So we estimate it's 300 to 400, depends on the week, of households that actually get access to the produce and get to take it. So it's an absolutely wonderful thing to see.
An $80,000 portion of Kingston's $180,000 monthly parking fine revenue is being redirected to help support the farmer's service operation, which runs year-round. The local food initiative is further supported through an RBC donation to the Food Resiliency Foundation Fund. Originally supported for 1 year, City Council has since voted in favor of a 5-year commitment to the pilot. Councillor Connie Glenn, who spearheaded the original motion, was on hand at the event.
Congratulations, first of all, and I understand that this is somewhat of a passion project for you.
I've been aware of the food insecurity issues for years, so when I became a city councillor, it was one of the things I ran on, which was trying to fix some of those food insecurity issues, as well as from the environmental perspective. It just doesn't make sense not to grow local if you can grow local. So that's where I started to really get an interest in vertical farming and ran across a really lovely woman out of the States by the name of Nona Yehi, and she created a project where she did vertical farming in conjunction with affordable housing. And so the proceeds from there offset the cost of the housing, and adults with developmental delays actually work there. So it's a great win all around. But I started to survey what was happening out in the community and looking for potential people to partner with to do projects, and I ran across Crusher. At the same time, I'm the city councillor for the Queen's University area, Sydenham District. And, you know, I started to work with the student government and formed a post-secondary working group where I asked the students their big concerns, and they said food and housing. And I was heartbroken to hear that we had postgraduate students with families going to the food bank looking for baby food and diapers. And I thought, this is something we've got to get on top of. So that sparked a motion that I brought called Fines for Food. We've got lots of parking challenges in Kingston, but 1 month worth of parking fines is worth 180 grand. And motion passed that we were going to allot 1 month of that money to our food banks and our food partners. But then the mandate was also find a way to make it sustainable. So I'd already wanted to do this kind of thing. So basically introducing staff to Grocer. They, of course, did their proper due diligence. But this is what sparked this great project was we've renewed our Finds for Food project. So for the next 5 years, we're committed to that 180 grand. 80 grand of it's invested in these units with the other 100 grand going out to meet other immediate food insecurity needs.
I think it's impressive to be able to walk through and see what a small footprint this unit is compared to what it's producing. Do you have a sense of how much food this is contributing?
Well, let's put it this way. Our 80 grand investment from the city, and I mean, we've got obviously RBC and other supporting partners, but it's getting $200,000 worth of food into the community.
While the original iteration of the Finds for Food project saw funds distributed to local organizations to help purchase food, this pilot will see a portion of those funds directed toward local food production, creating a hyper-local new source of fresh produce for community food programs year-round. Kingston City Council declared food insecurity an emergency in January 2025, responding to data from KFLNA Public Health, now Southeast Public Health, that found approximately 1 in 3 households in the KFLNA region faces food insecurity, meaning they cannot afford the food they want or need for good health. This has been reflected in a growing demand for support from partners in Mission Kingston Food Bank, which reported a 25% increase in food bank usage in 2026.
I wondered if you could speak about the growing need in Kingston, because I know it is a growing need.
Yeah.
It's been considered a crisis for a long time now.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the things that people don't realize is food insecurity is everywhere. Last year, we helped 1 in 17 people in Kingston Loyalist Township. Most of us can name 17 people. So that means you probably can name somebody who needed our food bank services. So it is in every community. And when you look at things like Feed Ontario's map that shows food insecurity, the richest households in Ontario had food insecurity as well. So it's everywhere.
With a food bank, I know fresh produce can be a huge challenge, fresh food in general, and being able to store it, get it out to people. What does something like this project mean for you?
For us, it's truly wonderful. When we talk about food insecurity, when you're in that situation, you're struggling to buy the quality foods and produce and things. So to see it in a food bank, this level of quality and freshness, we're hoping it brings a new level of dignity. Plus, we're also adding a healthy option and benefit, and again, hoping to improve overall health of people.
And what has it meant to partner with City on something like this? I know Councillor Glenn was saying that Food for Finds has been secured, so this won't be a one-off.
So there's just so many partners that make this happen and so much collaboration. And like I said, we are just doing the easy part, and that's that we get to collect it and give it out.
So in addition to adding a product to your shelves, it's also giving you the opportunity to direct funds elsewhere.
Yeah, so when we don't have to spend money on produce like this, it means we're able to buy things like meat or other non-meat proteins, including eggs and milk.
Sometimes people think of food bank and they think of canned goods.
Right, right. I think what they're thinking of is 1984 when we started, and there was really, most food banks were a canned good kind of quick help. We've been working really hard over the last, I'd say, 10 years to change. So 10 or 12 years ago, we stopped buying canned vegetables and fruit and switched to fresh. It's wonderful to have funding partners to make it happen. Fresh produce that's local, you don't get any fresher than same day harvest and on your table.
Speaking of other people, they're saying this is the first time, not only in North America, that there's partnership between
people don't realize that the city of Kingston is quite forward thinking in some of the things we're doing around food insecurity. I know some people may complain and say more needs to be done, perhaps, but they need to take the first step in order to get any steps in, and we are farther ahead than many other communities.
The partners in Mission Food Bank runs a 4,000 square foot grocery store model for its clients, stocking items like milk, cheese, meat, and now fresh greens grown at the facility. The vertical farm system was originally developed to provide fresh produce to remote northern communities and is designed to be modular with the ability to connect up to 5 units together. We spoke to Grocer CEO and co-founder Corey Ellis for more details.
So the unit that we have here will produce 700 vegetables every single week for 30 years. So the project that we have here, while it's a 5-year initial pilot project to evaluate what is the benefit and impact to the city, our hope is that this project will continue for the full 30 years that we know that it can produce. In terms of cost of growing, it's actually lower than the cost if you were to purchase these same vegetables on the market. And that was made possible because of a donation from RBC Foundation and then support from the city as well to reduce the upfront initial costs. So RBC supported, for example, the initial setup of the machine. Modern Niagara provided support on the site preparation costs, so to get it plugged into electricity and powered on. And then the city is supporting the food bank on the ongoing cost of the farm. So when you look at the city's component, it's actually providing food to the food bank at a lower cost than market price.
And what kind of vegetables can it grow? I see a lot of greens in there right now. I guess it doesn't have to follow seasonality.
So it can produce the same vegetables no matter the season. It'll produce the same exact amount of production, whether it's minus 40 in the winter on a really, really cold snap, or plus 40 during a heat wave, whether there's hail or floods or droughts. And it does so with 95% less water and a very precise amount of fertilizer, no chemical spraying, no pesticides, no herbicides. So it's a much cleaner product, more nutritious product, and it grows a year round. What it can produce, so it produces anything that's a vegetable that's above ground. So no root vegetables. We've focused this with the food bank on four items that are high nutrition and high in need within their client group. So when we looked at what do people recognize, what do they want to cook with, and then what is also nutritious, that's how we landed on our list of four. But we can grow hundreds of different types of vegetables.
Is this the standard unit that you've been creating?
So this is our standard unit. We produce about two of these every single two-week period, so 4 months out of our facility in Manitoba. And we ship them in modules, so they're prefabricated. They show up looking like the way they do today on site. All we have to do is plug it into power and water. And the goal of this project is we're starting with the first module, but these are designed to connect five together into what we call the Farmplex, and that would support not only the food bank here in Kingston, but also other not-for-profit organizations across the city that all currently purchase food and import it from other countries. We see once the project is in place, then we're helping organizations save money. So it's all about, for organizations that already are purchasing food, how can we help them get over that initial fundraising step? And that's where partners like RBC and the RBC Foundation have been really critical, get over that initial hump of the upfront investment. And then once you're over that, then it's smooth sailing for decades.
And is this across Canada now? I know you mentioned more remote northern communities as one of the places that you've been supplying.
Yeah, we started in the Arctic and supplied some very remote northern communities. First installation was in Churchill, Manitoba 10 years ago, and now we've got about 130 installations just like this one in Canada. The cool thing about this project is this is the first true municipal and food bank partnership anywhere in Canada or the US. So we're seeing some really exciting momentum of others looking at what's being done here in Kingston and wanting to replicate this exact model. I'm very excited for what we're able to demonstrate straight here in Kingston to spread itself all across the country.
That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Sports Desk.
This is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Power Plays Sports Report, and today we're taking a look at the Canadian team's performance in the 2026 World Cup. On a sweltering Sunday afternoon in Los Angeles, it was Leamington, Ontario, Stephen Eustachio who tallied the game's only goal 3 minutes deep into stoppage time. It was a fitting, if belated, result for a Canadian scheme that frequently attacked from the wings. The Canadians had struggled to complete their crossing passes throughout the game, but doubly so in the second half as a half dozen Canadian scoring chances ended with a missed pass. Ironically, it would be a missed crossing pass that would create the game's lone goal, as a misplay by the South African defense saw the ball ricochet onto the boot of Eustachio. It was far from a simple conversion for the veteran Eustachio, who, in his 60th career international match, tallied his third career goal for the Canadians. It was about as perfect a shot as one could ask for, a seeing-eye scorcher that blazed past three South African defenders en route to the back of the net. Elation for the long-suffering Canadians, desolation for the South African squad who came mere moments away from sending the game into extra time, a strategic goal they had spent much of the second half working towards. Canada will now advance to the round of 16 for the first time in program history. They will play the winner of tonight's game between Morocco and the Netherlands next weekend in Houston. That Morocco-Netherlands game is scheduled to begin tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Coming up next is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region and your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region Monday, June 29th, hot day here in the city of Kingston. 28 was the high, feeling closer to 33, dropping down to 18 overnight with a 40% chance of rain. That rain remains consistent into Tuesday, June 30th. 29 is your high, a little warmer, a little more humid, but that 40% chance of showers overnight as well, dropping down to 20. The rain continues into the morning of Canada Day, Wednesday, July 1st. Warmest day of the year so far. 30 degrees is your high, feeling closer to 34 with that 40% chance of rain, subsiding before the evening fireworks, however, 20 degrees overnight. Thursday, July 2nd, the warmest day gets even warmer. 32 is the high, feeling closer to 36 in the bright sunshine. Friday, July 3rd, we are looking at a 30-degree day with a 55% chance of rain. In fact, a 55% chance of thunder showers in the afternoon and evening. Saturday, July 4th, 26 is your high with a 65% chance of precipitation. Sunday, July 5th, 27 is your high with a 75% chance of rain, including morning thunder showers and a follow-up thunderstorm in the afternoon. And then kicking off next week, Monday, July 6th, more rain in the forecast, 75% chance of precipitation with a high of 29. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Bath Road from Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard to Portsmouth Avenue. Expect delays for the installation of intersection pedestrian signals. The city is installing intersection pedestrian signals at several locations to make it easier and safer for pedestrians to cross busy roads. They are installing signals at the following intersections: Bath Road at Lafleur Park, Concession Street at Kings Court Avenue, and Stephen Street at Patrick Street. Wright Crescent at Palace Road to Palace Road. Closed for a contractor to complete roadway repairs, pedestrian safety and access improvements, and traffic calming features on Wright Crescent. Norman Rogers Drive from Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard to Van Order Drive. Starting June 15th, Norman Rogers Drive will be closed to through traffic to facilitate roadway rehabilitation and configuration improvements. This work will improve road condition, accessibility, and safety for all road users, including students, families, and local residents. Barry de Queen is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street, and Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Over to Genevieve Hinch with CFRC's concert and events calendar.
Hello, Kingston, and welcome back to CFRC 101.9 FM. Broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario, I'm CFRC's Community News and Arts Coordinator, Jenny, and this is your weekly events and concerts calendar brought to you by Flying V Productions. Whether you're looking for live music, community events, workshops, markets, or family-friendly activities, there's plenty of happening in Kingston this week. Let's get into it! Starting off with Monday, the Great Lakes Museum opens its newest exhibition, Aquaculture Farming the Waters, offering visitors a chance to explore the future of sustainable food production. Families can also enjoy live at the library Kingston Frontenac music together at the Isabel Turner branch in the morning. In the evening, Craft and Create returns to the Central Branch Library while Trivia takes over both the Brass Pub and Something in the Water Brewing Company. Live music includes Cameron Watts, Monday Residency at the Cove Inn, and the Mourning Doves at Musiki. Tuesday features a few unique community events, including the Queer Song Circle, Singing for Connection and Well-Being, hosted through Queens Thrive 365 at McIntosh Quarry Hall. The Crochet and Knit Circle also returns to the Central Branch Library, while Daff Brewing hosts its weekly Euchre Night. Live music includes Tom Savage's Tuesday afternoon happy hour jam at the RCHA Club, a pre-Canada Day party with 80s Enough at the Cove Inn, and Musiki's open mic. Wednesday is all about celebrating Canada Day, with festivities taking place throughout Kingston at Springer Market Square and Confederation Park, with live music, family activities, food vendors, and fireworks to wrap up the evening. And if you're looking to get out of the town, celebrations are also happening in Bath, Sealy's Bay, and Belleville. Music lovers can also enjoy performances from Los Gracia, Breakwater Brass, Hold the Door, Soulfire, Tyler Brett Forks, Vincent Moncier, and many more throughout the day. Thursday starts with the Kingston Public Market in Springer Market Square before the Tet Center hosts a needle-felted landscape workshop in the evening. Movie lovers can also head down for a free outdoor screening of The Devil Wears Prada beginning at 8:30 p.m. Live music includes Al Lerman at the Cove Inn, Clear Breeze at Hotel Wolf Island, Doug Reensbury at the Helm Dockside Patio, and the world's greatest tribute to the Traveling Wilsbury at the Sphere. Friday brings one of the biggest events of the week as the A Game Expo gets underway at the Slush Puppy Place, featuring gaming, exports, cosplay tournaments, and special guests throughout the weekend. CFRC also hosts an Airway YGK songwriting workshop with Savannah Shea, while the Royal Canadian Legion presents a paint night fundraiser supporting the venue's family toy box. Music highlights include Fred Eaglesmith at LaSalle Theatre, Ness as part of the Waterfront Concert Series, Tyler Brett Forks at Loyalist Golf Club, and Stereotypical at White Iris at Overtime Sports Bar. Heading into Saturday, the Kingston Public Market returns downtown alongside the Tet Center's Kid Creativity Club. The A Game Expo continues for its second day, while Confederation Park hosts the Saturday Sessions Concert Series featuring Dave Barton Trio, Two Thirds Down Under, and the Cliff Edwards Trio. Other live music highlights include Atiari at Spacer's Dockside, Noah Malcolm at the Cove Inn, Andrew Mack Band at the Turnog, and the Tony D Band at the RCHA Club. Wrapping things up Sunday, the Memorial Center Farmers Market returns from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., while the final day of A Game Expo continues at Slush Puppy Place. Live music includes Purple Diamonds at Time Out Bar, Head Over Heels at the Cove Inn, and live band karaoke with the Oreos at the Merchant Tap House. That is your weekly events and concerts calendar for June 29th through the July 5th. For more information on these events, visit the CFRC website and keep it locked right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. The events calendar is brought to you by Flying V Productions, bringing live theater, comedy, and unforgettable entertainment to audiences across Kingston. Be sure to check out their upcoming shows and events throughout the season. I'm Jenny. Thanks for listening and have a great week, Kingston.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and listen on the go, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.